Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
Episode 76. Let me see if I can get my watch to sync here. Today is December 7th. Wow, just hit me. Pearl Harbor Day. 1941, I guess. Is that right? I believe it's 41. What began the pushed us to get involved finally in World War II happened today. That would be 51, 61, 71, 81, 91, 101, or 201, that's 60. 59 years ago today, Pearl Harbor was bombed in Hawaii. So it was probably about, I think it was about this time in the morning, maybe a little bit earlier. It's about 6:20, December 7th, 2010. Today is Tuesday morning. 6:15 in the morning, approximately, maybe 6:20 now. I got up a little bit later for a couple reasons. Number one, because I'm not having to run as far. And number two, it is cold. Or, as my stepdad, when he passed away when I was 19, Hoover would have said, all right, got our watch going, it is butt cold. So we're not dealing with regular cold this morning. We are dealing with the cold. Which I never knew why it was called that, but I do know the difference. Cold is whenever it's just sort of chilly and things are a little cool. And butt cold is whenever it's just unreasonably cold. So this morning we're running in butt cold. Now I remember years ago, by the way, you're listening to episode 76 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. Great to have you along. I'm Roland, the host. But I remember what for me would have been 30 years ago, a little over that now, when I worked in Bergall down in Pender County. I was actually, I grew up in Wallace and Rose Hill part of the time. I also spent years 10 to, well, my mother lived in Pender County until I was in college when she remarried, which would have been until I was about 21, 22 maybe. She moved back to Wallace, but so that means for 12 years or so I lived in Pender County. And I used to work at my uncle's grocery store, Uncle Pat, my mother's brother. And when I'd work at the grocery store in Bergall, have I told you this story before? I may have, I don't know. If I have, forgive me. But be very brief. But I can remember getting up and going to work. Well, let me back up. I worked at my uncle's grocery store. He had one in Wallace, one in a little bitty town called Garland, which is probably 15 miles, maybe 20 from Wallace. And then as you head south from Wallace into Pender County, a place called Bergall, which I've heard the Indian word means mud hole, I don't know. But I worked in Bergall, and I worked in the meat market. I did work at the Rose Hill store some too. That's before I went to work for the AMP. But this would have been back. Wow. Whoa, that wind is cold. I know people, if they see me, they think I'm insane. But more about that in a minute. But I remember I'd worked for my uncle, and I worked on most afternoons after school. And then I would also work all day Saturday. I would literally go in and help open the store and then stay over. And on Saturday night, the store wasn't open on Sunday, so we would clean the meat case. Now this was when I was 16, 17 maybe. And I would, when I got done at work on Saturday evenings, it would be, seriously, it would be 9:30. And I would go running. That was during that stage where I ran for probably 5 years. First was introduced to running by my oldest brother, and that was during that time we were racing a lot. 5Ks, 10Ks, one 10-miler, that was the furthest I'd ever raced until the half. October was a year ago. I had never raced further than 10 miles, and that was only a one-time deal. But anyhow, I remember I'd go running. I would take my stuff, and I would change in the car. Now, I don't remember how I did that when it would be so cold, but I would. I'd change in the car, and I'd go running, and I remember there was a bank in Bergall, and at that bank, it had, we're climbing the first of the two hills. At that bank, there was a sign, and I can remember being out there at 10 o'clock at 9 on a Saturday, and I would be running. I'd go, you know, 5-6 miles, whatever, and a lot of times it would be, you know, 22 degrees or 20 degrees or occasionally a little cooler than that. And that was after working the whole week, working all day Saturday. But I would do that other days too, because I ran several times a week and never ran in the mornings at that point. So, but anyhow, I got up this morning and it is dark, although the sky's beginning to lighten just a hair. And check the thermometer, and it was all 15 degrees on my porch, and we have a light breeze. So for me, that's cold. Now, if you're listening other parts of the country, it might not be that cold. But for me, that's cold, especially to get up this early in the morning. But I want to get this run in, and I'll tell you why in a second. And I knew the only way to do it was to get up. And I enjoy running in the cold. I have the one that Jerome, you know, I'm not good with names. Jerome, I can't remember now. Maybe that was his last name. Anyway, it's the runner's calendar. The one on the red cover had the guy with the tiger or A6 running shoes on it for so long. I use it to record hard copy and then put the other information on Buckeye. Okay, we're climbing the big hill. And the article for December, it has a monthly essay, is talking about cold. And it said that really the only time you're in danger of running in the cold is when it gets zero. Anything above zero, you can dress appropriately for. And I believe that. So for me, I am dressed appropriate today. Let me tell you really quick when I got home. And if you need a running and you're thinking, should I get out and run when it's this cold? Yeah, it actually can be fun, somewhat exhilarating. And it just gives you a whole different perspective. Like right now, it's cold enough that it's a bit of a challenge, but relatively quiet, other than Darcy barking. Hey, Darcy. Do I look like a biscuit? But I can present you with some really good opportunities to see a different side of nature in your running and the essay for December in the journal. That's what I spoke about. Forgive me for being winded. I don't know why. Maybe it's the cold. Maybe it's the fact that I'm still not feeling 100%, although I feel pretty good this morning. But just a little winded. Plus, I just climbed 2 hills. That's probably it. And now we're climbing the 3rd hill, which on the way back when I've done hill work, this is the first one where I would run the sets, and then the middle hill would be the second set. The big hill, or the last one, would be the third. So we're running it backwards at the moment. So we're going up the first hill, which in my case right now is the third, because I'm going backwards. But I have on my 769s this morning, and my compression socks. I have on the I think I got on the teal shorts, I can't remember, with the liner, as well as my underwear. It's one of the mornings where that extra layer of warmth can make one very comfortable, so we're doing that. I also got on the black jersey wool knit wicking pants with zip-up ankles, and One More Mile Club, or One More Mile, the company. Bought them several years ago. I don't wear them enough that I put much wear on them, but when it's this cold, it feels really good. And then I have on a long sleeve El Cheapo shirt from Walmart, technical shirt. And then I have the One More Mile Club jersey wool wicking top with the zipper and the high neck. And then I've got something, my head's a little different today. Well, I mean, not only my head's different, but what I got on is a little different. I actually have on my marathon cap that I wear all the time, but I discovered something, I think it was last year I bought it, but it's an Under Armour, it's like a head warmer. It is small in the back. It's like a headband, sort of. Gets larger, small in the front, larger in the back, excuse me. Covers your ears. It's wicking material. It's thin, but it has the brushed stuff on the inside a little bit. And it is exceptionally comfortable. It does a great job protecting the ears. Put the cap on over that, lets my head breathe a little and keeps me warm. So I would recommend that, especially as we're getting into colder weather, at least here in the U.S. I would recommend you doing that if you're interested. But it's made by Under Armour and I love it. I get back home, it'll be full of sweat, but yeah, I'm warm. And that's the whole idea. The wicking fabrics are designed to pull the moisture away from your body, and therefore it helps keep you warm. And then I've got on my regular knit gloves and the Livestrong Lance Armstrong gloves that I also got last year. So I got on 2 pair of gloves. And truthfully, I am not overdressed. It's about right. So the key today is layering when it's 15 degrees and a breeze. You don't want to get stuck out here and be cold. And got on my belt with the recorder in it. No gels today or beans. I don't need them. I'm not going to run long enough for that. And got on my road ID on my right wrist, which is blue. And I certainly, as I said before, would recommend that for you if you don't have one. Probably ought to have one. And then I've got my Garmin on, of course, just measuring our time and distance. And we've been running about 14 minutes, and I can tell that my mouth is beginning to get a little bit hard to talk, but it's to be expected. I ended up running 22 and a half last week after 30 something the week before that, and this week we're only going to run 8 miles before the race, so we're doing well. Last run was, today's Tuesday, Sunday night. Cindy and I had worked on Christmas decorations Sunday afternoon, evening. Told her I needed to go running one more time this past week. And so we kept working, and it got dark and getting fairly cold. It's 20 degrees warmer than it is now, but it was windy. So at 6:30, we were winding up. We had about all we could take in the weather. And she said, you're not going running, are you? I said, yeah, I believe I am. She said, it's too cold, it's dark, you'll get hit by a car, whatever. And I said, listen, I'll be careful. And incidentally, our care group had our get together last night. Went to Rosa Mays and ate. The care group bought Cindy and me, they bought her dinner, which was really nice. They asked me to lead the group when it started several weeks back, which I'm honored to do. And I think they all chipped in together and bought our meal. I couldn't get a square answer on that, but that's okay. But if any of them are listening, and I know Bert listens, just want to say again, thank you. That was very nice. And we do appreciate that. But anyway, we were sharing about the podcast. Bert was talking about it a little bit, and Randy in our group, he and Karen were listening a little bit on Bert's phone, his iPhone. And then he asked me, Bert asked me, he said, now what happens if you get hit by a car, get killed while you're running and you're recording? Is there some way that last episode would be completed? And I thought to myself, wow, that's sort of a morbid thought. But I answered him as best I could. I said, well, I don't think there's anybody that I'm aware of that could take that and do anything with it, but probably need to let somebody know. But God willing, that's not going to happen. Certainly hope that's not how I die. But I could. But we're very careful. And so, if you hear screeching tires and you hear me say something like, you know, I believe that car's a little bit close, and that's all you hear, you'll know that's what happened. Seriously, though, I don't even want to joke about it, because there are people who get hit by automobiles while they're out running, and I certainly don't want that to happen to me. But back to the last run. So, ended up going running, 35 degrees, windy, more windy than it is now, even though there's a decent breeze. And ended up going 6.2, and ran the last set of hills, which I did a total of 6 repeats instead of 12, because the repeats were cut in half. In other words, typically I do a hill quarter down, half down, three quarter down, full down. Do 3 of those for 12, This time I did one of those, then got to the big hill, did half up, down, and all the way up at charging it. And I was reading too this week that hills will increase your speed, running hills, which is one reason I've tried to do them. But it said you also need to go as fast as possible on the down, because that is helpful as well. But I've done that, I tried to. So, again, I apologize for, well, not again, but I do apologize for my nose. But it's cool weather. It's wanting to run. Incidentally, we have our lights up outside, basically, but we have some things up inside, but we don't have a tree up. But hopefully that may happen this week. Still early. Today being the end of the first week of December. So that was the last set of heels. The last tempo was last week. Last long run was midweek. And it was not that long. 9.1 miles. Today I'm planning to go 5. And we'll run some 30-minute surges. And then I will not run. Today's Tuesday. Not run Wednesday. And then just go 3 miles slow as I can on Thursday. No workout of any kind on Friday or Saturday. And race on Sunday. Okay, we have hit Hasty School Road, which you can probably tell. But we'll turn off of it fairly quickly. But I've been looking at the weather forecast. Bert mentioned it last night, too. I looked at it as far out as you could in the 10-day forecast. Initially, it was calling for 60% chance of snow Sunday. Incidentally, we've had our first snow. We got a good dusting Saturday evening into Sunday morning, but it all melted fairly quickly. But it was nice to see it. It was pretty coming down. But that's about all I want of it. We don't have a tremendous amount of snow, but we've had some large snows from here. Large. We were in Ramsour 10 years ago. We had 17 inches, and we've had 8 and 10 inches several times here, which to me is a lot of snow for me. But I realize I grew up in southeastern North Carolina, where you see a snowflake and they let school out, and you can't find a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk anywhere. But so anyway, snow came, snow left. But the forecast for Sunday, as I have continued to follow it, depending on where you look, 50 or 60% chance of mixed precip early on. But the high Sunday is like 50 or 51, which is a vast improvement over this week so far, because the high today is 35. High yesterday was 35. Warming up to 38 tomorrow. And moving on from there. Morning. Couldn't understand what he said. The older man, I think he said, "Are you crazy?" But anyway, he threw his hand up and smiled at me like he understands. So, don't know how the weather's going to be, but I'm certainly hoping it's going to turn out to not be cold. I mean, I think it's supposed to be 28, might be 26 Saturday night, but I'm hoping any precip is not going to present a problem by 10 o'clock. I don't mind a little bit of rain, especially in a race, but if it's in the 40s and it's raining, that's going to be very uncomfortable, and I don't know that I really have gear to handle that. I haven't been training in it. I haven't worked on that, so I don't know. So we shall see. But tomorrow's Wednesday. Bert and I are going to, after lunch, I've got a lunch in, and then we're going to We're wheeling right over toward Randleman Level Cross. Take a look at the course. And he is going to take some photographs. I think obviously not that I'm anything worth photographing. It's more about, I think he just wants to try something different. He does weddings. I would say probably the best wedding photographer I've ever seen. And again, his website is burtreed.com. Go there and you can see some of them. But I think he wants to try something different. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to do something really nasty. Just be thankful you can't see it. But I'm going to take my glove. Took off the Lance glove and the cotton glove. And I am literally going to not blow my nose, but I'm going to wipe with snot in my glove. Because we're at a crossroads. And the traffic's not cooperating. But I do want to cross right here. We're just going to stop a second. There we go. Because the snot is running down under my nose and it's starting to get in my mouth, and I'm getting that telltale sign of sweet goodiness, which means the snot's getting in my mouth, and I'd rather not have that. Now, when I was a kid, I'd have been all over that, you know. Hey, snot's not so bad. But now that I'm older, I don't tend to do that. But this weather just makes my nose run. So what we're going to do is, I'm getting ready to let you go for a minute. And put on some music here in just a few minutes. And we'll come back and finish this one out. But what I want to do is take and run probably 6 30-second surges, and that will be it for any kind of specific training here on Tuesday. So we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days of practical, more or less complete rest. Again, I will run one day, just 3 miles, and I'm going to force myself to run slow that day. So that's what we're doing. But sun's getting up enough that I can at least see some light in the sky, but everything's blue with gray clouds. Welcome to winter, right? So that's what we're going to do. And again, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. So I'll be back in a few minutes. You are listening to episode 76 of the 20-Minute Runner. On for me, what is sort of a celebration day as we officially wind up the training, and what for me is quite cool, although I am comfortable, so I've dressed perfectly. You know how it goes, after you do this a while, you sort of learn what to do. So, but I will be back here in just a few minutes.
Before we actually get to the music and pick up the close of this run, I have checked my email. I just wanted to share one with you. Received this actually 3 or 4 days ago, just now checking the account, but it's from Craig Festel, or maybe it's Feistel. Craig, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, but anyway, he wishes me good luck. And let me just read it very quickly. Ever since I stumbled upon your podcast and blog about a month ago, I've been keeping tabs on your workouts and your progression towards this half marathon you've entered. I think you're ready. Well, Craig, I hope you're right. You know how it goes. You prepare and you prepare, but yet you always feel, or I do at least, like I'm just not quite there and I'm not going to feel good that day. But I think you're probably right. I've done the best that I can, and so we are happy with that. He says, I don't recall you ever mentioning which race you're running this weekend. Is it the Run to Victory Half? Yes, it is, in Randleman, and you are correct. He says, I love listening to your podcast and will always be a fan. Most interesting to me is that you write about and discuss chi running much more than anyone else who produces a blog or podcast. Well, Craig, I'm certainly glad to hear that, because I am a believer, as you know. If you've been listening even for a month, you know that. But Craig also says that I have read Danny Dreyer's book a little over 2 years ago and have made an effort ever since to incorporate the Qi principles into my running. Being an extremely thin 6'5" runner, I've got an unusual gait and style, at least I think so. I've made great strides in perfecting my form in order to increase both endurance and speed and to reduce injuries. Unfortunately, I cannot seem to master them, though. For a long time, I've debated whether I should find a Qi coach trainer that could help me. As of now, you've become that coach. Craig, I am humbled and I am flattered, but mostly I'm humbled. I mean, if anything I ramble about is a help to you or anyone else, I'm thankful. I'm amazed, but I'm thankful, and I certainly take your comments graciously. But I want to help you if I can, and anyone else as far as that goes. But Craig continues, please keep introducing the Qi fundamentals into your discussions. I love hearing it. He goes on, I can't wait to hear about your half. In the meantime, here's my most recent race report. He ran the 3rd annual Reindeer Romp 5K in Rock Hill, South Carolina, in 1920. That is smoking in my book. He placed 5th out of over 1,500 runners. He says this is one of those casual races where they don't use timing chips, don't give awards, and don't even publish the race results. Luckily, I ran up front from the start, so I know exactly where I placed from start to finish. It was a tad cold, 40 degrees for me, and had trouble loosening my arms, but otherwise felt good. This wasn't a PR for my career, but was my best time in the 5K in the past 3 years by about 25 seconds. I am very pleased. Next up, Myrtle Beach Marathon in early February, where I hope to BQ or Boston qualify. Good luck this coming weekend, Craig in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Craig, I wish you the best at Myrtle Beach, and as I said in the email back to you, having been there several times in my life, and more than I can count, and you may have as well, though I believe you were living out of state until recent years, I think, and then you've moved to Rock Hill. I could be wrong about that. I think that's what you had said in another email, but be that as it may, Myrtle Beach is flat, and it should be fast, and Myrtle Beach in February, temperature should be perfect for running a marathon, I would think. So good luck with that. Please send me a race report after that race. And by the way, I'd be curious to know what your qualifying time needs to be for Boston. So Craig, thank you for that email. I really, really appreciate it. And particularly your comments about the Qi running, finding help by listening to this podcast. I will try to, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but it is a part of who I am at this time in my running, and it always will be as long as I run. I will be a Qi runner because I believe in it. It works for me, and I love it. So I will continue to try to do that from time to time. And if you have a show or hear a show, an episode where I don't talk much about it, hang in there. We will get back to it, and I'll talk about other things that may help our Qi running as well. So keep going, and you know, again, I appreciate your comments and your thoughts as we race this weekend. We'll see how we do. I'm just not sure. The course is a little hilly. I know at 9.1 there is a big hill. I actually went over and rode it today with Bert, the guy who's going to try to take some pictures. And the course is not terribly hilly, but there are a couple of significant hills in it. But generally speaking, it's rolling a little bit. So we'll see, but Craig, again, thanks for that email, and now we'll get on to the music, and we'll be back to finish up this run that you're listening to in just a minute.
I remember looking up in the sky. It was the 26th day of December. Me and my friends were so surprised. Couldn't believe what we saw. Big red coat, black shiny boots, and 9 spanking reindeer screaming across the sky so high, shouting ho ho ho. Santa's last stop is a trip to the beach day after Christmas. Coming down to stick your toes in the sand and feel the warm tropical breeze splashing around in some big old waves in his red long john underwear. Santa's last stop is the warmth of the sun the day after Christmas. working hard all year long, making toys for all the good girls and boys. So cold where he lives, no time for play. Flying around Christmas Eve, bundled all so tight. You know he really could use a day off before he heads back home tonight. Santa's last stop is a trip to the beach, day after Christmas. Coming down to stick your toes in the sand and feel the warm tropical breeze. Splashing around in some big old waves in his red long john underwear. Santa's last stop is the warmth of the sun, the day after Christmas. Done jumping down chimneys, flown round the world, delivered all the toys to all the boys and girls. Down to stick your toes in the sand and feel the warm tropical breeze. Splashing around in some big old waves in his red long john underwear. Santa's last stop is the warmth of the sun, the day after Christmas. Santa's last stop is a trip to the beach. Sing. I remember looking up in the sky, it was the 26th of December.
Okay, we have run six 30-second surges, which were not sprinting, but comfortable acceleration, probably comparable to the tempo. And one of the reasons you want to do those several days before the race is to just remind your legs again of what it's like to run fast, quick turnover, which with chi running, we tend to practice anyway. But it helps to remind your body that that's what it feels like to go fast. So today's Tuesday, we are through. Now it's just a matter of trying to stay loose and rested for the next several days. And I have felt okay today, but nothing to write home about. And I don't think it's fatigue, because not from running, because I have been tapering and I've cut back. Still cutting back, of course. But I just haven't felt well, as I think I've said last episode, maybe not. But I've had sinus, and my sinuses are wanting to drain. And while I'm not congested per se, it's almost a flu-like feeling. And particularly in the afternoons, evening some, but mornings I feel good. But like yesterday afternoon, I felt so bad about 3:30. Actually, I laid on the floor in the office for about 20 minutes. I don't think I went to sleep. If I did, it was very, very short. But just get the feeling so bad that it's like, I can't go. And so I don't know. Keep telling myself it's sinus. But you know, I wonder if there's something else, because I've really been dealing with that for a week. But it's like it's coming to a head or something. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes this week. But again, we've done the work. Tried to taper. And got a little bit more rest yet to come. Today we're only going 5 miles. And no further. We're back to Darcy. Been running 44 minutes. And also, I wonder today if part of the struggle is the cold. Trying to run speed when it gets below freezing, I think that can affect that. You know, people ask me, well, how do you run when it's that cold? Don't your lungs freeze or whatever? No, they don't, but I believe as cool as it is this morning, that it can affect your ability to breathe a little bit. And I could be wrong. I'd have to research that. And that could be contributing to why I am sensing a bit of a struggle. I don't mean I'm just hassling, but I can just tell it's a little harder this morning. It's, man, maybe that's a good sign. It's like a practice for a production. They say if the last one goes well, or goes, goes well, the production won't. But if you have some mess ups in the last rehearsal, means your show's gonna go over well. So that might be where we are. I'm not sure. I think I may have just hit 5 miles. If I did, I'm not gonna run the last little segment we have. So I'm gonna keep moving until I get to the end of the street where I live, which is close by. Not running faster, doing anything. I actually looked at my watch a while ago, and you know how it is. We've been used to running a certain distance, or even longer. You got 2.5 miles to turn around. Man, that's a flash in the pan almost. So by the time I looked at my watch, 2.8. But we didn't run the last set of, or the last big hill. That was my alarm clock for non-running days, telling me to get up and run. But I'm not going to because I'm already up. So that one doesn't apply. There are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 16 crows flying overhead. The sky is sun comes up now reasonably well. Sky is taking on a blue and peach color hue. Almost like a sunset, but it's a sunrise. It's beautiful. Okay, we're stopping. And I'll tell you what we did for what it's worth here in a little bit, although today I was not that concerned about it. But I do feel a bit tired. And of course this has been a horrendous week, and it's yet to be. Had the dinner last night, which we thoroughly enjoyed, you know, but tonight we've got a dinner. Wednesday, have a practice for a Christmas production that I'm in, which if we can get a clip of that for YouTube, I'll inform you of that later. The production's Saturday night. Sunday is a race. Seems like there's a couple of other things going on as well. But for the race, I need to get over Saturday and pick up my packet for the race on Sunday. And right now, again, I don't know how the weather's going to be. Even to go pick that up, but we will see. I know I got to be back in time for our Christmas production, which is, I believe it's 7 o'clock Sunday night. Saturday night, so it's probably going to be 9:30 before I even get home. But the race is late in the morning, 10 o'clock, which is great because of the weather. And with a high of 50 on Sunday, by 10, maybe it'll be getting fairly comfortable for running. And so that's where we are. But I'm getting ready to go in and get Odie. Walk him up the street. Probably get me a bottle of Propel whenever I get back walking him. But I generally come home and walk him, and lots of times it's before anybody else is up. Although Cindy tends to get up really early. Sometimes she'll lay back down after she's up. I think it's because I get up early. It's gotten her in that habit too. Well, I do have an interesting story about my aquarium that I'll tell you before I leave here. But let me get in here and get Odie. Tigger's not around. She was out here earlier. We got her a box fixed. And I think she's going to be okay with the cold. See if I can get Odie. We actually lit our gas heater last night for the first time, which was good because we lost power for about an hour and a half because of the wind from 10:30 until about 12. Let me see if he's in here. Odie, come on. Come on. Odie, let's go. And go out. Come on. Come on, Odie. Let's go outside. Come on. Come on, oh. Okay, I'm going to get my coat. I feel like Mr. Rogers. Taking it out of my closet. Come on, Odie. Come on, here. Come on, bud. Give me a foot. Whew, put my gloves back on. My outer gloves. My Livestrong gloves. Alright, Odie, it's cold out here, buddy. You better do what you gotta do pretty quick. I didn't even bother to put his coat on, although he probably needs it. But I don't think 10 minutes or so that he'll be walking is going to make much difference. Come on, Eddie. Come on. But, as I've told you about the 30-gallon tank, and I'll wind up with this because I've been going too long now, but, ooh, I do need to do something. Come on, Eddie. My 30-gallon tank with the gouramis and got some platies in it. One of them's blind. He had a bacterial problem and lost an eye. But he's recovered. He eats with, gets around with just the one eye. It's amazing, but he's adapted. And anyway, with the fish, I've got, now I've got four platies, a mollie, and two paradise fish, and four other gouramis. Paradise fish are actually gouramis too, but I had a plecostomus, and I did a partial water change. You can probably imagine where this is going. On had to do it Sunday night when I got back from the run, but Saturday night, oh, I forgot to tell you, we went to Charlotte and did shoeboxes for Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's ministry. We go every year. We ride down and work in this tremendously large warehouse where they, that day they had just packed or shipped, got ready to ship the 1 millionth box. And across the entire nation, they'll be doing about 8.5 million. So we took a group of 25 of us from our church, went down, and we do that every year. Great ministry, really enjoyed that. So I didn't have time on Saturday to do the water change, but did it Sunday. And yesterday morning, Monday, got to looking for my plecostomus, and I couldn't find him. So got home last night, asked the crowd, have you seen the plecostomus? No, we hadn't seen him. I don't believe he's in there. And I'm thinking, well, thing couldn't have jumped out, although I guess it's not out of the question. So I've got a couple of ornaments, a large bridge and a little boat and all this stuff, and so I proceed to open the top and get in there and start lifting it up and looking, and the thing is not in there. Now, I didn't look a while ago, but I'll look when I get home, but I think what happened, and I try to be very careful, but I've got an older siphoning. It's almost like an elongated tube, probably 1.5 inches across, and then it has like a 1/2-inch tube attached to the top of it. And you create suction with that by putting your thumb over the tube and filling the bell up with water. Make sure the end of the tube is lower. Let the water come through. Put the bell back in there. Odie, we're going this way. Come on. Come on. Going this way. Put the bell back in there. Let it fill with water completely. And then you put it down on the gravel and you start siphoning. You put it down, the gravel will come up about 1/3 of the way up the tube and clean all the debris out, and it's running into bucket the whole time. So I take out 3 gallons of water, 10% water change once a week. And I think what happened, God forbid, but I declare I didn't think he could fit through that tube, but I think I may have inadvertently picked up my plecostomus and put him in the bucket and poured him down the utility sink drain, which I hate, but I have to admit I believe that's probably what happened, because he's dark in color. I thought he was too big to get in that little tube, but I got to thinking about it. If all of his fins and his tail were, you know, pulled close to his body, he's probably small enough that he could go through a 1/2-inch tube, and so that's possibly what happened. The only other possibility that I can imagine, there's a very small place on the back of the aquarium at the top that I had cut out for a heater when I had it up years and years ago. Now I have a submersible, he, and this is a very long shot, he could have jumped out of that hole, but that is very, very unlikely. So I've about decided that I inadvertently sucked up my Placostomus and dumped him in the sink, and he is gone to fishy heaven. So, and I really, really hate that, but reminds me I need to be careful. The newer cleaning or suctioning devices to clean the gravel and stuff actually have a bit of a sieve in the top so that you cannot pull fish of any size, at least. You cannot pull them up through the tube. You might get them up in the bell, but they're not going to go through the tube. So I may have killed my Placostomus inadvertently, but if he doesn't turn up, maybe he's hiding in a place that I just cannot imagine, but if he doesn't turn up by the weekend, I think we'll replace him, and I just will be extra, extra careful next time. Okay, how did we do today? Not that we're really keeping track at this point, if I can see it. Okay, we did 5.18 in 47.11, I believe is what it says, in 50 seconds, something like that. And that was a 9.07 pace, which is not bad, but what we're going to do is run here in a couple of days, even slower than that. I'm really going to just drag my feet and keep the legs moving. It might take me 30 minutes to run 3 miles, but we're going to do that very, very easy. If you'd like to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. Go to the blog, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. From there, you can take my survey or the survey I've put up. You can email me from there. Join me on iTunes, subscribing to the podcast. Incidentally, Randy, or Jeff, excuse me, I think it was Jeff. I want to thank you for the kind words at iTunes, the review. I appreciate that very much. You too can go to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast. Leave me a review. Give me some stars if you would. I would appreciate that. Facebook, Twitter, all that information is there. 20 Minute Runner is my handle. Email me either from the blog, or you can just type in 20minuterunner@gmail.com. Send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. Include in that message, if you would, a photograph of yourself from a race or just doing something else. You can be sitting there smiling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't all have to be running. Send me a photograph where you live, your name, and I will include that on the blog where we have the listener photos. And when you go to the blog, you'll see we've probably got about 15 pictures there, and I'd love to have three times that many. So send me your photos, send me any race reports, send me any comments or questions, email any of that to me is the easiest way for me to actually get that, and I will be more than thrilled to include that in an upcoming episode. So I think that's going to wind up this show. Next episode will be coverage of the half. As relates to the race itself, I'm not even going to put any ideas of what I'll do. I think the course is pretty hilly, which I'm used to running hills, so that shouldn't be an issue, but depending on the weather especially, I feel confident that we'll break 150 unless the weather's horrible, and I feel pretty good about running a 145. Anything faster than that's going to be icing on the cake. Will I PR? I've done the training, but I just don't feel that good, so I don't know. So I'm not really going to set a time goal. Not going to be disappointed. I just want to run it the best I can and feel comfortable doing so and enjoy the experience. Knowing we're raising money for a camp for kids who have disabling diseases and conditions, and running with Kyle Petty, Richard Petty's son, of course, who established the camp, he and his wife, in memory of their son Adam, who was killed in a race car accident several years ago. Just knowing we're raising money for that within itself is enough, but I feel confident we'll break 150. 145 would be a plus. Absolute A game. Perfect race. Comfortable running as fast as I can. No issues to deal with at all. Perfect race for me would be 140. But I don't know that we'll hit that. But we'll enjoy it just the same. I am not planning to use the recorder during the run itself, but I will record that morning and after the event. And if we get over to pick up our packet, I may include a little bit of audio of that experience as well and give you an update on how the weather's looking, even as we get into the race. But we will cover the race next episode, which, man, just pray that the weather cooperates enough that we can all have a safe, good run, and all this training, this peaking, this tapering, it will do exactly what it was designed to do.
enough.
But I appreciate you listening, appreciate you being here more honestly than I can express. Without you, I would not do this, but I thank you for listening and being here. So that being said, Odie is finished. We're going to quickly get back to the house because I'm getting a little cold now, and I know he probably is. And to get me some Propel, do some gentle stretching, and the hot shower is going to feel wonderful. We are blessed, as I know you are too. But I will talk to you soon. Have a great week, everybody. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. See you later. Bye-bye.